This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
On today's podcast, Tony of Tony's Pie and Mash comes down and feeds us all. Sid's addresses rumours that he was a secret footballer, and we dig out an old 4-4-2 interview from the Ginger Iniesta. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast with me, Peter Crouch. Got Notorious SID and Chris Stark with me, and a very special guest, Tony's Pie and Mash.
Yep.
How are we?
Yeah, really well. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Mate, do you know what? This all came about because Sid, I think you asked me the question, what's the best, like, who feeds you the best and what club feeds you the best? And I said West Ham because of your Pie and Mash.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Honestly mean it, though. It was, and we've had it today, haven't we? We've had a little go today. And your first time trying Pie Mash?
Pie Mash liquor. I've never had liquor myself, and it's, I mean, obviously it's amazing. I feel like I need a nap. Two pies, mash there.
And that's the standard order, isn't it? Two pie, mash, liquor.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it, mate. Yeah.
So we wanted to give you a bit of a shout out, really, because this is something that people won't realise or might not realise how people like yourself go and get involved in a football club that they love.
Yeah.
And it can be quite hard to do that with a relatively small business like yours.
Yeah, I mean, starting off straight away, I have to show a little bit of gratitude to my dad, putting in the foundations in Waltham Abbey shop. He opened 30 years ago now, and it wasn't always as good as it is today. You know, he stood out looking outside the window, thinking, is it all worth it? You know, and like any business, it takes time. And he put that time and effort in, and it's given us the foundations to take this wherever we like, and grateful that the first step was West Ham United. 3 years ago, COVID, you know, no work. Hospitality was the first to go, if I'm correct. And I saw a friend in Tesco's. She worked at West Ham, and I just hollered to her. I said, get me in or out of the stadium, anything, I'll take anything. So we left, and I got back to work 3 weeks on, and she gave me a call, and she just said, listen, come up and do a taste test. And we went up there with my dad, like, again, ill man through the whole thing. And without him, I don't believe that I would have got here today. And they took to it really well. And it went from there, you know?
But now you're doing pie mash for some of your favourite footballers as well.
It's unbelievable. And I can't thank them enough for the support. Like, when I turn up and, you know, I'm quite a big guy. I'd like to think so. But when Pete cuddles me, I'm cradled. I'm relaxed. I'm feeling at home. Met with a smile. And, you know, you can't thank people like yourself enough for helping you along the way, because you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, so there's a picture. So obviously, like, most of the time I've been there, whenever I'm doing West Ham games, I'm usually kind of like on the side of on the other team, really. So it'd be West Ham Tottenham or West Ham Liverpool. So it won't be a club that I've played for. But there's always Carlton and Joe there. And Carlton and Joe introduced me to him, obviously. And they're like, look, you've got to get the pie mash. Carlton, you know, brings it up. Obviously, I meet him, top man. And yeah, we're sitting there, and you've got to see, there's a picture, I think I took it on my Twitter of you, of the pie mash, and, you know, the microphone there. And the game on, it's like the best view in the house.
Yeah.
Like, I think, how did I get here? This is lovely. I'm eating pie mash, watching the football, going, calling it work.
Yeah, it's a marriage made in heaven, though, isn't it? Pie and mash at, obviously, Upton Park or the new stadium, you know. They all look after their own. You know, it just seems like it's just meant to be.
Dream come true. Even like I say, I will have to add this as well. Joe, Colton, Jules, we can carry on mentioning the names.
Yeah.
Without the support of you guys, it's not brought to the front of the table and a talking point.
Really? You obviously, that's with TNT, right? So that, like, Carlton, Joe and Jules, they went on that Europa League journey, like, you know, the conference journey and then the Europa League journey. And the kind of pie and mash was the kind of, it was a signature, wasn't it? Like, for every home game, and then obviously you get to the final and it becomes a kind of, you know, and then I got involved in it, really, jumping on the bandwagon, because I'm like with Joe and Carlton, good friends of mine.
Welcomed.
But, like, it just went amazingly well. It became kind of the dish that you feel like it led you to victory?
I mean, look, personally, maybe it was a little bit of good luck. Since we've been in there, it's our third year in West Ham, and, you know, we're looking strong. So maybe maybe we need to send a couple down to the boys in the changing rooms, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You see, I just love this because I think any excuse to talk food and football is an amazing thing. Footy Scran as a topic is... And no, this isn't a whole episode about pie and mash, but maybe we should have done that.
We just wanted some.
For full transparency here, Tony got in touch and was like, oh, we'll bring you some pie and mash. We were like, well, absolutely. And we've just invited him on the podcast because he's such a top bloke. And I think it's an amazing story setting up and all these especially smaller businesses that set up at football clubs and trying to, you know, because you feed a lot of fans and all of that. There's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah. I mean, even again, you have to be grateful that even the support from the club and the company that we work along with, you know, the general manager, the head chef, you can't do it once again on your own. Mm. So they like allow us to come in and cook it fresh. They could have said, you know, no, but they do. And they make sure that they're giving the fans the best experience possible as well. So what more could you ask for?
Superb. All right. Well, Chris is going to try jelly deal before you go.
Love it.
Crouchy has just come from Dubai, I believe it was, on his holiday. So it's great to have you back in the building, Crouchy. And as a treat, you can have a lovely jelly deal.
Let's get it.
I don't know. Listen, I love you, Pirate.
Crouchy, have you had a jelly deal before?
I've never had one, though.
So this is your first time?
It's debut, yeah.
It's the way it wobbles.
Can we go small, please?
Give him a big one.
No, not a big one. It's got to be half of that. Listen, I'll put it there. All right, so I can cut it up a little bit.
I don't know. It feels a bit I'm celebby now. Like, you need to...
That's a bit...
I think the full thing.
Good man, Pete.
I can work with that.
Yeah?
That's actually all right.
Yeah, nice. I don't mind jelly deals. I'm going to just go straight in here, this one here.
I thought that was going to be horrendous, I'll be honest.
They're all right. They're good stuff. Yeah, it's good fish. It's good for you.
All right, Tony, we should say thank you so much for bringing in the pie mash. And if you are a West Ham fan, then obviously go check out Tony's Pie and Mash. Where'd you say?
Yeah, so we're in the hospitality bowling lounge. We're in the current and blue lounges at the top. We are in entrance C and now currently just broke through to entrance A and K, which now enables all of our West Ham family to get to us. So if you haven't tried it already, it'd be a dream come true to come along and give it a go.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Definitely. And David Beckham likes it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's where it all started. You know, back from Waltham Abbey 20 years ago now. And, you know, he's got a good relationship with my dad. And
he comes in regularly?
Yeah, he loves it.
What's his order?
He's a bit like you, Steve. He does like the jelly deals.
Nice.
Oh, love it.
Top man, mate.
Right, good luck with it all. Tony.
Yeah, thank you.
We should say as well, if you are a small food company working at football grounds, feel free to come get involved in the podcast. Wherever you'd like.
Hi, Peter Crouch with That Peter Crouch Podcast. We called to arms last time. We asked you to subscribe. Plenty of you did subscribe, but of course, we need more. We'd love you to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button if you enjoy our content, if you enjoy the podcast. It really does help. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad we had that pie mash because I've had a lively day this morning.
Yeah, what were you up to?
I've been at Brentford this morning, Brentford training ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, with TNT Sports. Myself and Joe Cole took part in training. But like when I say training, we were in the manager's office, so they couldn't take any cameras in there, but we could be privy to like how they discuss 8 o'clock in the morning, what they're going to do for the session, who's injured. Mm. So interesting.
Oh, so you did proper training. You're not just watching training.
We went behind the scenes. It basically filmed like behind the scenes as a footballer, really. I mean, it'll come out on TNT soon, but it was absolutely brilliant, honestly.
So you've never experienced that as a player? You've never seen what the prep and You're just been on the other side of where you get called into a meeting and they'll show you. Did they do a rundown of like post-game
analysis? So they basically analysed the Villa game. So I've got in there and we've done the team meeting with the coach and staff, and obviously they're planning the session. Then I'm having breakfast with the players. It's all access. And then we've gone into a team debrief. Obviously, the cameras weren't allowed in, but me and Joe were allowed to just sit in and they're kind of debriefing the Aston Villa game. Like, all the players so engaged. Like, you can see why they've got good like set up there. Yeah. All good people, great people that run Brentford as well, by the way, like Thomas Frank, all, you know, all the way down, all his staff, so accommodating. But then we joined in training. So I've got the monitors on, full on Brentford kit.
What, GPS tracker?
GPS tracker, mate. We looked at our data after. We analysed it all after. Yeah.
How did you fare against the other players?
I did. So apparently the intensity, the sprint intensity is measured from 5.5.
Yeah.
And my top speed was 5.56.
Yeah, but that's good, isn't it? Doesn't that mean you're in range?
It's measured from 5.5. Yeah, so 0.6 over over the starting point.
Well, by the way that you high intensity. For an intense sprint.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was never.
But then again,
thing,
I travelled a lot of distance. So my game when I played.
Did you say this to the manager?
Yeah, I did say this. I said like it mirrors actually when I was 24. Yeah. You know, because I was never, most forwards stay on the line and they're explosive. They go.
Yeah.
But they don't run a great deal of distance. Whereas me, I'm the exact opposite. Because I'm not so explosive, I have to find different ways. So I would basically cover a lot more ground just trying to get that little bit of space to get, you know, the chance to score. So yeah, that I wasn't too concerned with that.
So by the way that you walked through the door, to record in here, it looked like you put a shift in because you were struggling.
I can't move now. Well, I thought it was going to be like a little box, but we went straight into like, I thought it was quite intense, really. I loved it, but like my back went into spasm kind of halfway through. But I did, you know, my pride just and adrenaline just saw me through. But now I'm my back is stiff.
Is it?
I guess the question that everyone's going to be asking though is. Is this a potential move to Brentford?
The comeback's on, mate. And I was getting into Thomas Frank and just said, look, I'm available, you know what I mean? There might be that one that one game, last 10 minutes, that you need something different. And I can be that something different.
But it won't be a sprint, will it?
No, it won't be a sprint, no. No, I'll be hanging around the box, sniffing something out. But great, listen, great day, and thanks to Brentford for having us.
Just before we move on, did you, any players go past you, or did you take...
One of the coaches went past me, yes, Kev. I have to give him a shout out, Kev. Like, really, really good coach, him and Justin as well, especially, who we dealt with today. But Kev, yeah, he kind of went past me, and I kind of lashed out. Yeah, I took him down. But he got his own back because he megged me about 5 minutes later.
It was quite funny. You have come in limping, as Steve said, but you seem weirdly buzzing, buoyant about the whole experience.
Can't tell you. I thought my footballing days were behind me. I was like, look, I'm never going to get to where I was, you know. But then I played today, and actually, you know, when it was so much sharper than anything I've done for the last 5-6 years because it's a Premier League training session, and I actually found that easier. Like it felt like it's wrapped into you. You haven't got time to think. You have your touch, you pass it. You know what I mean? Like, whereas sometimes the charity games, you try and take the piss. Yeah. You try and do things that you'd never normally do. Yeah. Whereas in that, I'm just trying to shift the ball and not lose it.
Oh, I see what you mean. You know so kind of like the speed of it, this isn't better. Knocking charity game. I just mean that because it's slower, it makes you in a weird kind of way. It's not, you're slower for it. And the same way that you're doing this training at a high... It's unlocked that thing that it's probably been a bit dormant in you.
Totally dormant since I retired, really. Yeah. It's just like, you know, you just, it's quicker. You don't want to give the ball away. It's competitive. And I'm not trying things beyond my means. Mm. You know, like if I'm playing a charity game, right, I'll get the ball off Ollie Mears. I roll my foot over the ball and try and pass it 50 yards, you know, out the far end to, you know, Mark buy Wright. A jammer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, with this, it just felt a bit more kind of a bit sharper, and it was better for me, and I think it works better for
but
me.
But you seem quite motivated.
I'm buzzing for it.
So this is what I mean. Can you do it? Can you? Jokes aside, could you?
Well, is Brentford the one? I did 15-minute session today, and I can't move. So on that basis, no. But, you know, wheel me out for the last 5-10.
Yeah.
I reckon I could make a difference.
I don't want to say it, but this could happen.
I'm available. I reckon I need 2 weeks training and I'm back.
Yeah.
Stronger.
I've got a bit of fitness news for you as well.
Give me the biggest chump of bomber in history.
Might be able to help you with that as well. Bearing in mind it's Pie Mash Day as well. And, you know, I've also been saying I've been trying to do a little bit of fitness as well. You'll be pleased to know two things on this. I managed to play a round of golf. I think it's like my third ever round of golf now at Luton.
Who?
Very nice down there.
Luton, but
yeah, but it's lovely down there. Mm.
But like, it was lovely.
The hotel.
Like the whole place is nice.
It was like high winds where I was playing as well, but thrashed it round. I didn't bother scoring it because it was fucking pointless. I was on the sides most of the time, but you know, we'll get there eventually. Mm. Some point this summer would be good to do a game altogether.
We've got to do a game, yes, 100%.
Definitely.
But the major bit of fitness news is, do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Slender Tones and how my wife had suggested maybe it'd be good. I can't remember quite the context of it, but was like, would I be interested in getting a Slender Tone?
I think her way of describing it was, I think we should both get Slender Tones.
We should get message, Slender Tones.
You know, you looked at her six pack and she's not saying we. She's advising you get a Slender Tone.
Well, Slender Tone have heard that and have sent in the relevant Slender Tones. Yeah, look, anyway, it's here.
Right.
Okay, so this is like a slender belt around the abdominal area.
We just had a massive pie mash. So I can't be bothered to do it now. Which
And then you put these little pads on it as well, by the looks of it. And you too could have abs like that.
So I think what we do is we
are we going to try this? Are we next?
I think next pod recording? We don't mention anything. But next pod, when you listen to it, we will all be wearing a slender.
We'll all be vibrating.
Yeah, we'll just be working off the pie mash from today.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Today's podcast. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so today we're talking about journalists, kind of footballers' relationships with the media. You know, we talk about it like we're in the media now. But I don't know, it was very kind of us and them back in the day, certainly with the England squad. It was, you know, I know it's been talked about it and harped on about, but it was very different, I believe, probably to how it is now. I think there's a lot of constructive journalism now, maybe. There's a lot of, you know, diving into it. And of course, there's criticism. I don't know if there's criticism like there potentially was when we were playing. And it was almost borderline nastiness, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seems like, yeah, you're right. I think it seems now that they want to be really pally with all the clubs. They want to have a really good relationship. Because like what you've done today in terms of getting in for TNT and sort of, you know, getting your teeth in behind the scenes. Mm. Everyone wants that next best thing. So it seems there's much more friendly approach now. There's no sort of twists and turns, whereas beforehand you're always wary of something that you said that might get taken out of context.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a two-way street. You know, like, it's easy for players, I think, of that era to just go, you know, the press. They're all a nightmare. And at times they were very hard on me. At times they've been hard on, you know, we've seen it with lots of other players. But also, I think, as players, we were taught to be really guarded, and in turn that pissed off a lot of journalists, a lot of newspapers, and it was very much like, you don't come here, we'll speak to you when you're ready, we'll be 2 hours late for it. And that just pissed people off. And I think it was very much a two-way street. You look at some of the managers who like didn't want you doing anything outside of the training ground that wasn't controlled by them. And in turn that kind of made it very fractious. And I think now people are very aware of how they could promote themselves, you know, for players, clubs. You know, for instance, me going down to Brentford today, you know, like that, I mean, everyone was brilliant, and we'll get a great piece out of that that's brilliant for everyone. It's great for the for TNT, who get the, you know, the access behind the scenes, but it's great for the club to portray that they're a club that everyone likes to be around as well. So people can see both sides of it, I think.
Yeah. All right, it's a lot to get into on all this. Do you think, when you talk about that kind of us and them mentality, do you think now that social media is so prevalent and a kind of, some would say like a cesspit or a town square of just anyone's opinions, and especially on, let's call it football Twitter for a minute, that kind of place where people can just throw stuff out there and it'd be a bit unsubstantiated. Often it's rumour, often it's just made up for likes and clicks. And do you think journalism in football takes on a new importance, and that clubs have to protect it more to kind of keep it as an official source that comes from the club, considering everything's like the Wild West now?
I think so. I think, like, thing is like, when I think of journalists and stuff like that, like, obviously it was very much like when I was playing for England, you just go out and you do a press conference and you try and say nothing. That's generally,
you're like, almost trained in that, weren't you?
Trained in like not saying anything, not giving a soundbite, not giving a headline. Yeah. And like, if you get through that without having a big headline, you like, it's like you've won. And, you know, obviously they want the exact opposite. you know. But then I've done pieces with people like, you know, Graham Hunter, Jonathan Northrop, Sam Wallace, you know, Oliver Holt. Like, to be honest, that quite all of those journalists that travelled to England, you got to know them a little bit. And actually, you know, they're very knowledgeable about the game, and they're actually write good pieces and interesting pieces that you want to read. And that's why they've been at the top of the game for so long.
And you could pinpoint them, couldn't you, after a game? Because, like, whether it was for an open zone or it was more open zones in Champions League football, wasn't it? Mm. Where you had to go through the corridor after, and they'd all be there, one in a line, rather than a Premier League game. It would be them just all bunched into a corner. But you could sort of pinpoint, he'd done a really good piece the other week, or I'd done a piece of him, and it was constructive, it was good. And you go, he's shit on a few people, this one is. You can half pick and choose who you'd want to talk to as well.
Well, you know what, you'd end up kind of, you'd know who they were, and you'd know kind of who to avoid, you know what I mean? And that was, you know, and there were certain journalists that obviously don't like you as a player, had a kind of agenda against you as to, like, I'm going to kind of try and bring him down. And it went beyond opinion. It turned into, like I say, an agenda of, like, let's get him out of the England squad. And I think journalists at that time probably had enough power to do that. I don't think they maybe have the same power now. But you know, people like actually probably listen to, you know, Jamie Carragher's and Gary Neville's, you know, more so than perhaps the people who write the newspapers.
It seems like it's mad because you said, like, it seems like there's a whole field of journalists now, doesn't there? You look at different outlets. Beforehand, it was just mainly the papers, wasn't it? Your usual papers, a few magazines here or there. Whereas now you've got an array of things on social media, The Athletic, you know, newspapers, online outlets. There's
some social media sites have more followers than a lot of papers do. And
it's crazy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that you can kind of generate opinions, can't you, from you know, just setting up something on social media. And if it catches on and goes big, you can end up making, like, kind of big decisions, you know. If all those big outlets get together and start going, right, Erik ten Hag needs to go,
it's powerful.
It's massively powerful, because you've got millions and millions of followers that listen to it.
So let's talk about your kind of lived experiences of dealing with the media. So how often, when you saw the stuff that you're talking about there, Crouchy, where you saw someone almost being attacked or became the flavour of the month for being targeted by the press, as teammates, would you then step in and did you feel defensive of those situations? Did you find that sometimes you would stop, say, talking to certain journalists because you thought that they were attacking your team or more importantly, your teammates, not just yourself?
Yeah, I think the more kind of higher up you go and the more kind of senior you get, or the more respected you get as a player. Like, I remember, certainly at Southampton, you know, when things started kicking off for me, now England happening, you know, Liverpool and stuff like that's when I've kind of needed a little bit more protection, really, because I could deal with it, you know, at that level. But then when you get to that level, it becomes a national thing.
Yeah.
Jamie Redknapp and Harry Redknapp were unbelievable around that time. Jamie had been around for so long, and he came to Southampton. Harry was the manager. And then there was a few calls for me to get in the England squad, and they kind of backed me. They knew how I kind of liked to, the press could help me. So they were very kind of protective of me. And then they were really good with kind of doing interviews that helped promote me to get in the England team, you know, because they're obviously very good at it.
So you felt it was quite tactical, I think they helped me.
I think they helped me a lot. I mean, Jamie, I think, was the first to say I could play for England, and no one had ever said it before. And I think Jamie said that he easily could cope with playing for England. And I think he came out and said that, and everyone went, what? Like, no, you know, we've got Rooney, Owen, you know, Defoe. You kind of, like, it was like, I didn't fit an England player. Well, that's not what an England player looks like.
No.
So I think that's when, you know, I think he really put it in everyone's minds, and it was like, this can happen.
So he kind of threw that out there. Did you find around that time where there might have been question marks that you're talking about there, did you notice teammates defending you publicly, and how did that feel?
It felt good. I think, you know, you really show people's characters when things are going badly for you, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I'm just more current, like Harry Maguire going through his stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot for a player to come out and say, you know, and properly defending him, you know what I mean? Because, you know, they could turn on on you. You know, if you do that, I think you have to be very comfortable in your own skin. I remember Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher, like when I was at Liverpool again, kind of protecting me when I was going through that really tough spell. You know, it takes a big character to step out of the shadows and defend a teammate,
yeah.
You know, or a manager, for instance, who's getting a lot of stick from the home fans, to come out and defend him and go, no, he's our man, takes a lot, because you could easily just not say anything. Mm. You know what I mean? It takes a lot to do that.
Yeah. Easily not say anything, but also could draw attention on yourself. And if you're aligning with someone that it's almost fashionable to not like at that particular time. Did you have that, Sid?
I think you get that sort of siege mentality. That's what it comes down to, especially if you can see someone having a bit of a tough time, or if someone's had a personal issue off the field. You know, they'd always, that question would always crop up, how's, because obviously they can't get to the source. They'll say, oh, well, how's he been in training? Or, you know, is his mind still on football? Because they want to get that little scoop. And it's down to you to go, no, listen, he's been spot on. You know, obviously we're all here for him. We're all trying to help him. But his application during the training the week has been spot on. And today I thought it was outstanding. You know, things like that. You always back your teammates, and more so sometimes managers, because that's the hardest one. When they come for your manager and you know the teams are performing well, when you're thinking, you know, you'll always get on with the manager.
And you read the stuff that's out there about the manager as well, right? It's not like you're totally...
I always think as well, I think you wouldn't believe how much players read and listen to what's being said. Mm. You know, I mean, like, it's not... There's this whole thing of like, oh yeah, we just don't listen to it. We block it out. We don't read it all. And then, you know, and it hurts when it's negative. And obviously, you know, you try and sometimes when it was getting too much, like for instance, you know, when I went through that spell that I had was difficult. I tried to not look at it as much, but you still see it. You can't get away from it. No. And you know what's being said, no matter what. And it's very hard to change that.
Yeah.
But I also have the, you know, the people's names. I still got them in the back of my head of like, you know, a kind of hit list, if you know what I mean. Like ones who were like, went over the over and, you know, went too far.
Mm.
You know, I still got them etched in my brain, and if I see them again, I still...
Do you mean journalists?
Yeah, certain people, like in,
or pundits, parts. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
people, like, who were vocal.
Yeah, people that went too far. Yeah, there's a few. Certainly, my mum won't let me forget them anyway.
Really. It must be so hard for parents.
Yeah, almost.
He pinned one
of the England journalists up in the toilet, because he basically, he just described me constantly. I've talked about this before, but
yeah,
he described me constantly as like a beanpole, lanky.
Yeah,
you know.
So they started getting personal.
It was like, why? So my dad just wanted to understand why.
Yeah.
He said, why do you call? You know, why do you have to say lanky? Why do you have to say, you know, 6'7" hitman?
Yeah.
Why don't you say striker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't say, like, it's weird. It was a weird thing at that time. It's like diminutive striker or, you know, like for Defoe.
Yeah.
And like beanpole, towering hitman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always that kind of description. So, my dad just kind of had it out with him in the toilet one day.
Did the journalism change?
Actually did, yeah. Do you know what? He actually took it on board. And that showed, you know, I've got a lot more respect for him. Mm. Because, you know what, he just said, I didn't really think of it like that, you know. And I think sometimes people, you don't think of kind of footballers as human beings at times. And you don't think that their families are in the crowd when their songs are getting sung. You don't think that his wife and kid might be listening to it. You know, you just do it.
I would think that's the worst thing about your job, actually, or one of the worst things is the idea that there is a kind of green light. Bear in mind, you're basically good at football. That's really what that's the base of your job. Yeah. But I think when you get to a certain standard of football, there just seems to be that entitles papers or anything to say, to literally go at anything, not just your job, your life, anything. Mm. And I think this still exists. Maybe to not the same intensity, but I think for some players it really is that way. And the weirdest and hardest thing must be knowing that your families read that stuff.
Yeah.
Or trying to protect them from reading that stuff.
Mm. They've got a lot of power. You think about journalism, they've got a lot of power. They can start, you know, from a molehill into an absolute mountain, do you know what I mean? And get a trend going. I remember back in the day, I don't know whether you had the same point of this, with England, it was half that they was picking the team.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd always put their starting 11 down. And you're thinking that the managers, near enough, all the England managers up till the last couple probably, was like, if I might as well just pick that team because I can't get slate for it in the press if I don't. Do you know what I mean? I always thought the England team was always nailed on. It was always like sort of there in the papers. Like they've manipulated like the manager's mind.
There's always one player that look like the press kind of want in the team. For whatever reason, you know, and usually it's because that player is generating so much interest from everyone else. At the moment, you say that player's Bellingham, right? Mm. But like before that, we've had David Beckham, you know, Gazza, you know, and it was like, well, I don't want to pick him. But you kind of have to because it's like public opinion is so much. Beckham, you know, Glenn Hoddle didn't want to play him, did he? You know what I mean? It was like, he wasn't fitting into the team. But the demand was so much to get him in that you kind of had to.
An element of that with Grealish, I think.
Grealish,
as well.
Exactly. Just another modern one where you've just like, we've got to play him. Even now there's a cause for Foden. It's like, got to play central, got to build a team around him. You know, and it's like, that's what public opinion, that's what we want. And invariably, that's what the public gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I always wonder as well about the source. You know, they go, you know, like, not so much, it's journalists, isn't it, I suppose, that are on TV channels and they go, wherever it's deadline day, and they go, I've just got a source, an inside source that said, you know, this player could potentially be on the cards to sign. I was like, who is that? Who is the source?
Yeah, if it's ever about, have you ever seen that about yourself, where a source has said something?
What about me?
But then there's two things with that. You're savvy enough to know that they can just say a source and basically cover the fact there isn't one at all.
Yeah.
Or the other part of that, which is, there's actually three options. There is no source. There is a source that, and you're questioning, like, is this someone I trust? Mm. And then the third option, which is, actually, you've leaked the story yourself but want to keep it anonymous. So you just say it's a source.
Yeah.
Well, things always get out.
Things always get out, wasn't there? There was a Solskjaer one, wasn't there? Do you remember when he was
the dressing room stuff,
saying there was one or two players that was leaking stuff out? I mean, he's officially saying
they didn't want the captaincy at all.
Yeah, but I mean, for a manager to say that,
but you've seen it, you know, like recently it was Chelsea, wasn't it, where people got, you know, they just completely down tools, didn't they? It felt like, and there was leaks everywhere, and I mean, that's happened at a few clubs, hasn't it? And yet, like, it does go on. I mean,
it does.
Quite often players will tell agents.
That's what it is, I think. I don't think it's a player in specific.
You'd hope not, wouldn't you? No player would go to, I don't think, to ring up, you know, someone in the press.
Yeah.
I think they might tell their agent and their agent might go, look, I've heard this.
I was at a club. I won't say what one. There was a few. So, and I got accused of being a leak. Believe it or not.
Did you?
Yes. Oh,
wow. Snitchy Steve.
No.
Steve Snitchwell.
No.
Steve Snitchwell.
Oh, sorry, mate. It was only accused, wasn't it?
No. That is what I am not. I am not. No. Yeah, the manager kind of accused me of leaking stuff out.
Sorry, mate.
So how did you respond to that? Well, you just thought you were telling someone in the press.
Well, firstly, you weren't, right?
No, categorically, no. Of course, that's not me. Because I think that if you lose the trust of your dressing room, your team players, or your teammates, then that's it. You're done. And I was never one of them players anyway, ever. Irrelevant of whatever situation I was in any club. The manager sort of half skirted around it and, you know, mentioned a few other players and you know, in the confines of me and him, said, I believe there's a leak in the dressing room. It could be coming from you. And I was like,
it's a big shout.
Yeah, it was a huge,
Where did you react to that?
I didn't like it at all. Yeah, angrily. It was,
we had shocked. Words. You must have been shocked.
Yeah, I was,
first,
like, because that's, you know, that's someone saying that you're a bit of a snitch or a grass.
That's
is
a bad.
That's horrible.
Like, it's a, you know, that's the low, isn't it?
Do you think they were saying that to everyone? It's a horrendous tactic.
No, not everyone.
So why? So
it was a bit hostile at that time.
Why don't we look at it from their point of view? Why do you think they thought you were leaky?
I have no idea. I am not leaky.
This is like traitors, isn't
leaky.
It?
Yeah, I love traitors, by the way. I can't get enough of it.
I am not leaky.
Oi, we should do our own version. Hoods
are you
up.
Faithful?
Are you a fake horses?
I am not Steve Leakwell.
He's by, yeah.
But anyway.
Have you watched Traitors, by the way?
Yeah.
Good is it? Steve's over there huddling in the corner with the other.
With the others.
I won't name them.
No.
All right, no. So you just want it on record. Like, that's
oh,
that
a million
was not
percent.
A,
no.
Yeah.
No way.
Do you think they found the traitor?
I
like we're calling yeah. The straight up no, traitor.
They did.
Did Claudia Winkleman come in?
I know they did.
They did.
Fact.
Oh, right, okay.
So they know.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So you're exonerated.
So I've cleared my name.
Yeah. Wait, do you think most clubs have a traitor or not?
No.
Did maybe you always have a slightly leaky one?
It depends if they're leaving on bad terms or bad ways. It's anything. I've seen players do things to get out of a football club. They will do anything. They're the nasty ones.
I don't think there's anything worse than... I've been in gestures where I don't like the manager or you don't like certain players and, you know, but you just get on with it, don't you? I don't think you're going to get anything good is ever going to come out of leaking things to the press. But they seem to get everything, don't they? So, you know, everything comes out.
Well, there was a book, wasn't there? The Secret Footballer.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was actually...
Accused.
Yeah, seriously. People used to come up to me and go, are you the secret footballer? And I used to be like, no. No, I can't even read books, let alone fucking write a book.
I thought you were in...
Steve Rokewell.
Listen, I struggle in them pickup lines. Don't worry about me. No, yeah, the secret footballer was...
I thought you were just going to say who it was then.
No. Well, I thought it was Dave Kitson.
Why?
Because that was what people said.
That is the name that goes round, isn't it?
Yeah. People thought it was me. I'd have random ones come, are you the secret footballer? I'd be like, nah, it's not me. Like,
did you ever get asked if you were the secret footballer? Not sure.
No one asked me, no. I think so. Anyway, but you know what? I mean, listen, that was a great concept, that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good idea. And didn't he get, like, he got like, 5 books out of it?
Yeah.
So... He's obviously done well.
Yeah, but was he a footballer?
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing.
It started with an article in the paper, wasn't it?
It was The Guardian or something. He's been writing for The Guardian saying the secret footballer. And it kind of just caught on, didn't it? And it was a great, great concept.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Kitts or not.
Says it. He talked about how footballers would spend their money on trips to Vegas, Ibiza and Marbella, including once getting into a champagne war with 3 Brazilian World Cup winners and ended up spending 130 grand. We do this on the podcast.
What we go on trips to Vegas, Ibiza and Marbella?
No, I mean, we talk about this shit. Like, all we need to do was just hood up.
Yeah, yeah.
From the start, we would earn a fortune.
Like the traitors.
Like the traitors again. Maybe we just release another podcast. We'll take the shit off the walls and we'll just...
The secret podcast. We'll just take the shit off the walls.
Yeah, and it's clearly us, but just with hoods on.
You could name your club then.
has the rapper come out? Was there a rapper?
Yeah, I think he... Because weirdly, I had to record something for one of his songs. I still don't really understand exactly what I was doing, but I'm in one of them. But it did come out, didn't it?
Yeah, it did come out, but yeah. Wasn't he a young lad?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was, because first it was all these bigger names is the wrong way to put it, but do you know what I mean? Prominent footballer. Still, it was interesting. Mm. I think if you make anything anonymous like that, I think it makes it immediately more intriguing.
People want to know.
It?
I mean, the whole Parch scenario, you know, for instance, you know, we didn't reveal Parch's name and, you know, that took off. Who shot Phil? It all makes sense.
And then, of course, you had the whole fake shake thing as well. That as a story and the kind of... Mm-hmm. But that was a different type of journalism, wasn't it?
I was part of that England squad when that fake shake thing came out on Sunday. And I think we met up on the Monday. So it was Sunday was like, you know, Sven was on a boat in the Mediterranean or Dubai, wherever he was. And he was obviously meeting up with a News of the World reporter who he thought was a shake for Aston Villa, wasn't it? And he was going to sign Bex and Rio.
Yeah.
And I think he was telling all this and they were just recording it all.
Mm.
And then they put it out and I thought, we had this meeting got called on the Monday and I just thought, oh my God, he's going to resign. And he literally just did not talk about it once. And at the end he just went, and someone said, like, what about, you know, what's happened? And he said, the newspaper... And he went, Oh, he's English. So funny. And then walked off and I went, all right, let's go. Let's just get on with training then, Julie.
Fair play.
Like, not one fuck given.
Brilliant.
I was like, fair play.
There's no elephant in the room.
Like, literally, it just walked the duck's back. It's like, just English. So funny. Crazy. He's jealous. Crazy. And just carried on.
There's a bit of a history of this with England managers in particular, that almost English journalists want to, you know, immediately there has to be something on an England manager. I just find it's a little bit self-defeating sometimes. Depending on what it is, and I get it.
Yeah, but I think obviously, like, things are very different now, but like, I just think, like, kind of back then, it did feel like there was, it was like stings all the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It just felt like we were trying to implode. And, you know, and then I've spoke to, like, you know, Dirk Kuyt and Rafa van der Vaart and certain players from other countries. Like, obviously that was Holland. They were like, look, if our captain of our national team, you know, is in a position where he's like drunk or something like that, they want to put Iran around him, sneak him out the back door, you know, whereas if England captain's drunk, right, we kick him out the front and try and take as many pictures as we possibly can, get a load of pictures on our phone, and everyone sells it and goes, you know, just England star disgraced. And I think that, I don't know, that's saying in our makeup that we do that, and I think other nations try and look after the players. And I'm not saying you should be out doing that. We should be looking after our players doing things wrong. But I just don't know, it's just a different mentality. It's like, I remember one player telling me, you know, you buy kind of like a nice car in this country, and there's parts of it I quite like about it, the English mentality of like, look at this flash car.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But there's also parts of it where, you know, that same player went to America and there's people with nice cars and they're like, oh my God, he must be doing really well to have a car like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this country, we just key it and go, fucking flash bastard.
We do have to say there's good journalism as well.
There is, yeah. You talk about headlines.
Have you got the list?
Well, I've got the list here, and there's one on there that I've wrote down, which I remember as a kid, and it was absolutely brilliant. And it was when Caledonian Thistle beat Celtic, and it was Super Cali are fantastic, Celtic are atrocious. I'll never forget that. I was about 16, 17.
So
I was a young pro. I was getting the train up to Arsenal and looked at the back page, and that was the headline. I thought that was just,
you
only
come up with them, like seriously, some of them you go like, that is, that is top draw.
Oh, there's been some great headlines, and we should, because that's the thing, right? We're talking naturally, some of the conversation here goes naturally to, I think, negative elements of journalism or sports media. And actually, there's a lot to be celebrated with it. As you said earlier, Crouchy, there's so many brilliant writers, brilliant journalists, and some headlines can be just so creative.
Oh, absolutely unreal. Yeah. I also don't think that, you know, daily sport shouldn't be underestimated in this as well. You know, some great headlines on the daily sport.
Yeah.
I've come across when I walk past the newspaper stand, obviously. But this one here is dummy here. Old lady unable to masturbate at home.
Context.
That is goal.com decided to lead to this headline after Juventus, obviously nicknamed the old lady, drew with Bate Bozorov.
Nice.
Old lady unable to master Bate at home.
He's genius.
It's an absolute scandal. Genius. But again,
they've made that work. However, it probably took them a while.
Well, I don't know. I wonder if they're thinking of that during the game. They've got, I have got a golden head on here. Please let this scoreline be as it is. There's no last minute goals that go in.
These are so good.
That's so true. If you've got the headline already written, you're praying the result doesn't change,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What about this one? This was Sky Sports, this one, right? Keegan fills Schmeichel's gap with semen.
God's sake.
Fucking could have just said they're after David Seaman. You know what I mean?
So Michael's out, so Seaman Seaman replaces.
Can't read it again. Keegan fills Schmeichel's gap with Seaman.
All right, should we stay on the childish ones? Do you want?
Well, I like them.
Keep Dicks going. Stay up.
Which was what's
us at the bottom?
That headline.
Yeah, that was after Sunderland secured survival in 2015.
Under manager Dick Advocaat.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Dick, stay up.
Yeah.
All right, Swedes 2, Turnips 1. Obviously outrageous.
Yeah.
Remember this headline. Obviously, this is the picture of Graham Taylor as a turnip.
Yeah.
And Sweden beat us in Euro 92, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
A bit brutal.
What about this one a bit further down here? USA wins 1-1. And it says the New York Post after the USA drew to England in the 2010 World Cup.
That's because that's kind of true, isn't it?
It's a kind of win for them.
Yeah.
Suppose it is. I was on the bench in that game.
Great headline, this. Just because of its randomness. Germany, this is from Germany v Spain. Psychic octopus unfazed by death threats, says keeper. It's true. You know, in major tournaments where they get the animals involved, yeah. But suddenly, if it gets through the rounds, and there's always going to be one of these things that predicts it right because there's so many, right?
Yeah.
From goats to hoovers to everything, everything's predicting for a tournament. So statistically, some will get further and further into it. And then suddenly they look like they are this kind of magical thing that can predict it. Suddenly they need security.
Yeah, well, I suppose they do.
Imagine an octopus getting death threats.
That's not on.
It's not on, is it?
I've just seen one. I don't know if you just read this one out as well. The Benfica one. Have you seen this?
No, yeah. I've just seen that myself, yeah.
Can they actually write this? Fucks off to Benfica. Eurosport.com used this as Benfica signed
Angelico Fox.
Argelico, not Anne, is it?
Oh yeah, Argelico
Fox. So that's his name. But could you write fucks off to fucks off to Benfica?
But spell is it? Was no, it?
If you said Sidwell off to Benfica, right, it'd be fine. Yes. So why can't you say fucks off?
That's what I mean. So can you write that?
I guess so.
It's his name, isn't it?
Fuck's sake.
Brilliant.
Okay, well, great headlines.
Yeah, all good.
Boys, I want to do something with you both here. So what I've done is I've managed to dig out an old interview that you both did many, many years ago. And I just thought it could be a good snapshot of life for you then and we can compare it to now.
Okay, how so you I'm answered not going to look at this.
So I don't want you to have a look at it, all right? Sid, you can have a look at the first one. So the first interview we got here, Crouchy.
Do you want me to interview it as me or me as then?
Yeah, should we see if the answers match up?
Okay.
So answer it as then, as you think you were then.
So how? So 2007.
I'm a bit nervy here because when I say nervy, I'm playing the best football of my life, but I'm right at the kind of top of my game, playing for Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, Athens. We got to the final of the Champions League in 2007. Just won the FA Cup. I'm playing well for England. Okay. So I'm a bit got more guarded, I'd say, than I am now.
Okay.
So the interview at the time was conducted by Rosanna Greenstreet. It was for the Guardian.
Oh, good source.
It was a big interview, this one, Crouchy. As you say, a prominent interview. Part of your career. Okay, so Peter, hi.
Hi. Thanks for letting me do The Guardian.
What is your greatest fear? What's the context of your life at this point? Are you married?
No. I've met Ab. I've been with her for about a year. Yeah, about a year.
Okay.
Alsatians.
You got the answer bang on. In 2007, you answered Alsatians.
Yeah.
When I was 9 or 10, I was playing for... Mate, this is something that's gone on so many years now.
We've said it on the pod loads of times, haven't we? That was my height of Alsatian fear.
Sid, you want the next question?
Are you missing the first one on purpose?
Yeah, just I think pick and choose.
Oh, right, okay. I like the first one, though.
Oh, go on then, we'll ask it.
When were you happiest?
When was I happiest? I think I'm happiest when I've played well and I'm at home after a game.
Okay. Close. This is the last time I scored.
Yeah. It was only football at that point.
Football, yeah, it would have been football, yeah.
There was no lifestyle.
Okay.
No. Okay. What was your most embarrassing moment?
So I would have just done the robot for... Prince William. Maybe that was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Would I have said that?
It was your penalty for England against Jamaica.
Penenka.
The hat-trick penalty.
Yeah,
over the bar. Which haunts you to this day.
Yep,
still does.
Your most embarrassing moment. Would you say that's still the case?
No, I think, you know, that was really embarrassing at the time. Yeah, but this wasn't.
You've done way more embarrassing
far
since.
Fucking worse than that.
All right, Peter, what about this one? What is your favourite smell?
I struggle with smell, but I probably could smell back then. What's my favourite smell?
Yeah.
I'm not really, that's not one of my best senses, that. I roast dinner.
It is.
No, it's
it
not.
Is. Is it really?
I swear my life, I haven't. Shut up. No way.
These are great.
I swear my life, I haven't a look at that.
Okay. So the 2007 question, what would your superpower be? How do you think you answered?
I reckon I'd fly. Do I not fly?
For any reason or?
I'd fly because I think it'd just make things a lot easier.
You actually went with the perviest of all the superpowers, invisibility.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I was probably more of a pervert back then.
Sid?
There's one here. Tell us a joke.
Oh, fucking hell.
There's one here. Tell us a joke. It was 2007. I don't know if this gives it away. J-Mo told you it. It could be anything.
It can't be any good then. J-Mo told me.
You will never get this.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to get that, am I?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
My granddad had his tongue shot off in war.
In war? In the war?
In the war, yeah. In the war.
Doesn't sound very funny.
He can't bear to talk about it. And then you put, categorically, David James told me that one. Well done, J-Mo.
Who was I then? Who was I? In the Guardian. Jesus Christ.
What do you dislike most about your appearance?
I might have broke my nose just then. My broken nose or my grey tooth?
It was the grey tooth.
Oh!
Wow.
You say, I had a grey tooth, but I've just had it seen to.
There you go.
I knocked out when I was a kid by my sister.
Yeah, so true. I can't believe I got that. The grey tooth gave me grief my whole life. My sister ran in one day and just ran straight into me, and my tooth went into her head and stuck in there and came out, half of it came out and blood everywhere. And it just plagued me for life. I had like caps on it and then it discoloured, and my mates used to rip me for it, call me the grey tooth. Mm. And then, I've kind of had it seen to since, had it knocked out again, and I've been a problem of all my life, that tooth at the front.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, did you enjoy that?
Well, I did enjoy that, actually, yeah. Look, you know what? As it obviously took me back to 2007, quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's a good time for me.
Do you know what? Maybe if anyone listening can find an older interview of either of the lads as well, we can go back even further in time.
Mm. We've got one here from Sid from 2003. We've got even further back.
22.
Yeah,
2003,
okay.
So I'm 21. Oh, my God.
So, Steve, this is an interview by Justin Barnes from the May 2003 issue of 442.
Oh, this could be horrendous.
Context of your life at that point,
I
please.
I am 21. 2003.
Yeah, picking up Hitchhikers.
I'd just finished picking up Hitchhikers at Reading. I probably just not long moved to Reading. Yeah. I just got engaged maybe as well, 21.
All right, well, first question. Who do you play like?
Who do I play like?
But you need to answer as you would have.
Okay.
Then. Yeah.
I would have said someone like, I'd come out of Arsenal. I would have said someone like Vieira, Brian Robson. Vieira,
you said
Scholes.
Roy Keane or Patrick Vieira. I'd love to emulate them.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, that's fair good. Enough. Yeah. Vieira.
Totally right. Fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nice ones on here. Let's go with this. Best player you've played with?
Oh, wow.
Because obviously you would have then gone on to play with so many more.
Surely I must say someone at Arsenal. Dennis Bergkamp?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know why?
Yeah. Fucking slippers for football boots. What did I put? Silky.
It's touch and vision. Yeah. He knows where you are without looking.
Yeah. That sounds like an advert.
Can I just say, Sid did a massive flex earlier before we were recording this podcast, just before you got here, Crouchy. Mm. We were talking about people to get on the podcast. I hope I'm not breaching confidences with this. And Sid was like, because we put a video out on socials of you talking about Thierry Henry. Mm. And Sid was like, yeah, I was thinking I might just drop Thierry a message and just see if he fancies coming on, because that video had gone quite big. Mm. I was like, I'm sorry, you got Thierry Henry's number and he hasn't mentioned it.
He hasn't mentioned it.
Henry's number.
We're dropping a text and we'll see if we can get him on the pod.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Sort it out, Sid.
Premier League's greatest ever player.
All right. Well, listen, toughest opponent. Remember, you're 2003 here. Yeah.
I'm not even playing the Premier League here.
Good answer.
Is it a Premier League player?
Well, you've got three players mentioned in it. Two of them are...
Joe Cole?
Yes, one.
Would I have said Graham Kavanagh? Would he
you did say Graham yeah. Kavanagh. Graham Kavanagh of Cardiff.
Cardiff, he pulled my pants down one game really badly.
Yeah, he played during my time at Brentford. He was everywhere, round the game.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had a second chance to play against him later that year. I did much better.
Yeah, it did.
One other player. We know him now.
Don't know.
Jody Morris.
Yeah. Jody Morris, yeah. Arsenal reserves, Chelsea reserves, that would have been.
There's a really nice answer you gave to your biggest influence. You talk about your family, your parents, your brother and sister, which is really, really nice. This next question, what is the best advice you've received?
Fuck.
That's a great question now.
Sorry, I've just had a little bit of one underneath. I'm quite enjoying it.
It gets slightly more eclectic in questions in a bit, doesn't it?
It's the advice.
You can't wait for this bit.
Oh, no. I have no idea.
Best advice received?
I don't know. Something from my dad, maybe?
Yeah, from
just
your dad.
Work your socks off. Be honest, or I don't know. Give everything.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice answer. You said, from my dad, have a dream, push yourself to the limit, always believe in your ability. He said he owns a scaffolding company and I once worked for a week with him. Yeah. Seeing how hard he works, getting up at 6 a.m, lugging gear around, football seems a more attractive option.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Good answer.
Right, let's go on to the funnier questions.
Tunes. Favourite tunes.
Must be a garage. Is it a genre
and then two artists.
Fuck. So it's not garage.
Solo male artists.
Oh, solo male.
Mm. It's two genres,
Two artists. Is it an R&B or a hip hop one?
It's an R&B and hip hop. Yeah.
It's not Notorious. It's not Notorious.
Surprisingly, it's not Notorious.
R&B and hip hop can't be Snoop Dogg or P Diddy or someone.
Yeah,
like that,
you got
is it?
P Diddy one.
Is it? Oh, that's not bad. That's bad time.
Yes. And who else?
2003 is fine.
Hip hop and R&B. I don't know the other one.
Usher.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right, okay.
Yeah. They're not bad, not bad.
Eminem on the Streets, quick one there.
The quick one, Sid. Eminem on the Streets. Yes, correct. Eminem. Lyrics are brilliant. Just tells you how it is.
What's my name? That's Slim Shady.
What more do you want from an artist?
The real one. Just cut more. I thought we'd finish, but the fun continues. What do you spend your money on, Steve Sidwell?
How much money? By the way, before you answer this, because the answer is kind of ridiculous. How much, you're on a bit of money by then, right?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I could tell you, when I signed for Reading, I was on that contract there at 21, I'd put in about £2,000 a week.
Oh, really?
Which is a lot of money.
But
I'm talking context of football. Yeah,
okay. Okay. Well, cool. You know, what money you did have.
That's obviously spending way much more than what I earned.
Well, what were you spending it on?
Yeah. What would you spend it on?
It
feels like he's an old head on young shoulders here, isn't he?
Watches? No. Property?
No.
Fucking hell, washing machines?
Just clothes, my girlfriend. And I also save a fair amount too. With injuries in football, every pound you earn could be your last.
It reads like you're selling life insurance.
You know, words of wisdom from the ginger and the Esther.
21.
Wow. This reporter must have been like that. The reporter must have gone... sake.
Fucking hell. He's safe.
Wow.
Why am I enjoying this interview so much?
We've got to do more of them.
All right, in 5 years, Sid, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
5 years.
This is the last one.
Yeah, it must have been Premier League. Well, I hadn't played Premier League then.
Yeah.
Be in the Premier League?
In 5 years, I'll be playing in the Premier League, hopefully. And in a perfect world,
play for England.
Arsenal might buy me back again, and I'll wear that famous shirt again.
Oh, well, there you go.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Good answers there. I mean, they could be a lot worse, those answers. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Oh, I think that's a great. I think you've answered all of them with the media training that you've clearly both been given. Actually,
yeah.
No, they could be a lot worse. Yeah. I think, as I said, if you do happen to have any old football magazines with interviews of the boys, please send them in to me, and then we can put them to them.
Yeah, because like this day and age, the players get have a bit of a mare with like the old MySpace pages and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, because...
Did you have one?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like when I was a kid, it wasn't about then. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're a kid at school now and you're on like TikTok and then you blow up later, you know, everything you've said or all the stupid dances you've done when you're at school just get brought out again, don't they?
Was it Phil Foden or...
See, Singy did one, so it's been
loads. I think he had was it a MySpace, something like that?
Dele Alli. Really, Dele Alli
had one, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah.
Was it, and what did, wasn't Vardy's chat shit get banged?
Was it?
It was. Oh, there's a name for a book. Right, lads, an 11. We like 11s on the pod. I got sent a Sid 11.
Oh, brilliant.
Literally. So get on this. This is superb. This is from... Leo Ratchlop. It says, Sids, I'm a massive fan of the pod. Seeing as you're always in and appear in 11s, I've decided to put together a Sid 11. Here we go. GK. Salvatore Sidigu. Defenders. Cedar Azpilicueta. Nemanja Sidic.
Oh, God.
Marco Senesid. Sid Willy Bolly, Sidadine Sidan, Sid William, Clarence Sidoff, Sidrissa Garnagaya.
Oh my God.
The strikers, Brian Sid for Brian Kidd,
yeah,
and Danny Sidwellbeck. And he said, P.S., if you wonder what Sidadine Sidan looks like, here's what I've done.
He's made a picture as well.
Wow,
that's quite impressive.
How
where
you begin and Zidane ends.
He's done that really well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
superb. Just going back to caps on footballers as well. I've had a few. There was one in Scotland because caps on goalkeepers. They've gone out of fashion, haven't they?
We're saying we don't see it as much. Steve suggested.
The sun hasn't changed.
That the weather hasn't changed, and
he's a climate change denier.
He's and because of that, he's dubious as to the whole caps thing. But no, it's definitely spotted less, isn't it?
It's definitely spotted less.
So there was one spotted recently, was there?
Yeah, there was one in Scotland that came to light
very, very quickly before we go as well. Do you remember last podcast or the one before that? We were talking about a sort of snog, marry, avoid, kind of start, bench or sell.
Yeah.
And we got a message from Tim here. It's a Pompey edition. Can I just get your answer? Probably, let's do this quite quickly. Herman Hreiðarsson, David James, Glenn Johnson.
Snog, marry, avoid.
Yeah.
I would probably snog David James just because he's a good looking man. You know, Armani model previously. Good kisser. Herman Hreiðarsson, I'd have to avoid just because the man's a lunatic.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him with all my heart.
Second that.
He's one of the best people you'll ever meet in your life. But I have seen him say hello to people and break their arm at the same time. Glenn Little, he broke his arm. He comes behind you in a chokehold, rips you down to the floor to say hello in the morning. He broke Glenn Murray's arm. That time, but he does it quite regularly, so I'd have to avoid him. And of course, I'd marry Glenn Johnson.
Yeah,
as you know,
all seems about right.
Mm.
All right, boys, great episode today. Really enjoyed
it. Enjoyed it. Really, really did. And also, we got Fedwell, didn't we? you know, the pie and mash there from we Tony. Did. Tony's pie and mash was absolutely phenomenal. Mm. And enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, remember Friday podcast, like in case you're not on this, we do a Friday podcast where we predict three games during the weekend and just have a chat about all the weekend's football and what's been going on. We've got a little mini league going. We've been told to just give that a bit of a plug as well. So you ain't got long to wait for the next podcast. It comes out Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, and go give that a listen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jumbo Wabba, guys.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.